we have a very busy Labor Day show all set for you today. We're going to tell you about that in just a couple of minutes. We've got Tiff Pua here. And Tiff, are you set for a beautiful Labor Day?
I am ready to get outside, but I have cleaning to do. So the windows will be open as I'm cleaning and rocking out to Yacht Rock. That's my day.
Oh, well, listen, I'll tell you somebody who's got a great day, and that is TMJ4 meteorologist Tyler Moore, and he is going to join us. And, Tyler, we have a great holiday weather, don't we?
Yeah, happy Labor Day to you guys. It's just fantastic. I mean, the last couple of days have been perfect. Today, same thing. Mid-70s and sunshine. I mean, can you ask for much more on Labor Day?
I was going to say, now, technically, autumn begins September 21st, but we're in a meteorological, I can't say the word, fall time. You tell us about it.
Yeah, so there's really two ways to mark fall, and it depends on what you want. If you want fall to come later, go astronomical fall, which goes by when the sun's most direct rays start to pass south of the equator. That comes September 22nd. Meteorological fall is what us as meteorologists like to use the most because it tends to favor our temperatures better. So it's just every 3 months based on the calendar. So September, October, and November are fall. Then obviously December starts meteorological winter. So it's just shifted a little bit earlier for the season than the astronomical one.
See, you're having trouble saying it too, Tyler.
Yeah.
All right, so it's still early. It's only 7:08. But tell us what the next couple of days are going to look like and when we've got our next chance of rain.
Yeah, I mean, these next couple of days, still fantastic weather. So no shortage of sunshine today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. We are talking sunny skies. Temperatures mid-70s today, mid to upper 70s Tuesday, and then upper 70s on Wednesday. And the low humidity, too, sticks with us. So it's just going to feel fantastic outside. The next rain chances you were talking about, that comes along another cold front. That will be late Thursday into Friday will be some of our next rain chances. Looks to be a pretty decent cold front. So our temperatures will take a pretty good drop towards next week and definitely going to feel like fall towards next Saturday. We could see high temperatures stuck in the 60s.
One last question, Tyler. We had some problems as far as the lakefront yesterday. Is that gone now or are we still going to have some dangerous warnings there for boaters and swimmers?
Yeah, great question. Yesterday, because those winds were a little bit breezy out of the north behind that cold front, we had some of those rough conditions with a small craft advisory, some beach statements out. Thankfully, none of that has been issued for today because our winds will be lighter. Could see a little bit of wave action still right along the lakefront just because our winds will be out of the northeast, but nothing as significant as yesterday. So looking good to go to head out towards Lake Michigan today.
Tyler, have a great Labor Day. TMJ4 meteorologist Tyler Moore, great to have you here.
You too. Thank you so much.
It is 7:09. A very busy show is ahead for us today. But before we do anything else, we've got Debbie Lazaga. And if you thought roundabouts and zipper merges were interesting, wait until you get a load of this new type of interchange. This month's Driver's Ed with Debbie introduces you to the Diverging Diamond Interchange.
They may be your girl's best friend, but coming soon, folks behind the wheel are going to need to get used to a new way of getting on or off a freeway. It's called the Diverging Diamond Interchange, and we're not talking about bling. Whenever there's talk about new traffic patterns, there's bound to be a little pushback. But before you get worried, let's get a primer on what exactly a DDI is.
It's sometimes called a double crossover diamond interchange. It's where traffic on the cross street actually moves over to the left-hand side of that road to allow for free left turns, basically, onto the freeway or onto the main road, which in our case is Interstate 94. And then you have the secondary roadway, which is State Trunk Highway 175 or Brewers Boulevard.
The DOT's Bill Moore says it's one of the safer ways of getting on or off a freeway.
You're not crossing in front of traffic for that left turning movement. And that's the safety feature. You're not making this left turn movement in front of traffic where you could get a T-bone or some sort of other crash.
Basically, instead of there being two stoplights you have to go through to cross a major freeway, there will only be one. And getting on the freeway should be a breeze without having to cross oncoming traffic. So this is what you'll see.
You will come to an intersection and there will be stop and go lights there. If it's red, you'll stop. You'll see traffic from your right crossing in front of you while you're stopped. And when the light changes to green, you'll go right through that intersection. If you want to get, say, go westbound, you'll be in the left lane and you'll just automatically take that lane and go right onto the ramp, right to the freeway. You'll see signage. So you're going to see above all the lanes signage saying what lane to be in for what movement you want. If you're going to want to take the left to go westbound on I-94, it'll say be in that lane. The right-hand movement is exactly the same as a regular Diamond interchange.
Fancy seeing one for yourself? Well, there is one under construction on Brown Deer Road over I-43, but that's not complete yet. There is one in Janesville at I-3990 and Wisconsin 26, also known as the Milton Avenue interchange. And how do they choose what type of interchange goes where? They'd use this type for any interchange where there's a heavy left-hand turn movement, but it's not perfect for every spot.
What our traffic operations analysis personnel do is they look at all different types of interchanges. You have the diamond, you have the diverging diamond, you have a single point urban interchange, you have free flow ramp interchanges.
And don't forget everybody's favorite, the roundabout.
Hooray!
In the midst of the whole I-94 corridor redo, encompassing the area between 16th and 70th Streets, not only are they trying to widen the freeway to be better able to handle the heavier traffic volume, but also converting the stadium interchange from a full freeway-to-freeway system interchange.
This interchange, when we're done, will be more like a service interchange, i.e. a local road with the main line being the interstate.
If you're like me and you do better visualizing it with a picture, head over to our website, WTMJ.com, and we have pictures and videos to show you how it's done. Debbie Lozaga, WTMJ News.
I don't know about you. My head's spinning, Debbie. I'm not sure which way is which now. I thought I knew how to drive. Now I'm totally confused. All right, it is 7:13. We've got a busy, busy Labor Day show ahead. And of course, as you know, it is the last big grilling holiday, and we're going to have some tips on how to prepare those less expensive cuts of meat. Also, this is the day. All those kids are going to be back in the classroom by tomorrow, and we're going to tell you how to be prepared. Now, you want your kid to be healthy, so he or she does well in school. But did you know that a family of four making as much as $80,000 per year just might qualify for Medicaid for their kids? We talk with the chief medical officer for Medicaid Services, and she's going to tell you how that breakdown works. Speaking of schools, if you're doing some last-minute pickups of what those kids need, we're going to tell you how to get some free custard just by donating some school supplies to kids out there who don't have them. Now, think about it. Have you ever wanted to be part of the Milwaukee Bucks? Well, I know you have, Isaac, except you're about 2 feet too short. But you can't replace Giannis, but there is an opportunity that just might fulfill your dreams. We're going to have all of the news about that for you. Plus, cell phones, how did we ever live without them? Well, we have an expert explaining some new technology that you may not be familiar with. Also, if you think you are having a bad day on those days when you travel, wait until you hear some flight attendants and what they go through. We're talking with a Washington Post travel reporter all about it. We've also got our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, joining us. She has information about whether you, about things you need to know, whether you're a landlord or a tenant. We've got Isaac right here. He's pushing those buttons. Tip Pua is in the newsroom, and in just 2 minutes, it's Mark Horton Sports right here on Wisconsin Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. I'm going to be with you till 9 o'clock this morning on this Labor Day morning. It is a chilly start to your day. I mean, when I got in my car this morning, it's at 47 degrees. Currently, we have, let's see, what is it right here in Milwaukee? We have 58 degrees at 7:15 on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. There's bad news and good news for the Brewers. Coming off an 11-inning 4-3 loss to the Reds yesterday, they are still decidedly 9 games ahead of the Cubs in the NLC and just 2 games behind the Dodgers, who have this season's best record in baseball. The Crew take on the Cardinals today at AmFam Field. Our coverage begins with Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio at noon. And Team Penske's rookie Scott McLaughlin won yesterday for his third victory of the 2024 NTT IndyCar Series season. There were 763 on-track passes, surpassing Saturday's race at the Milwaukee Mile for the most at an IndyCar race this season. It also included 13 lead changes, a record for an IndyCar event at the Milwaukee Mile. McLaughlin said his win almost didn't happen.
We just stuck with it, and it wasn't quite good at the start, the car, and then we just tuned her up, and it was awesome. So a lot better in traffic today, which helped a lot. Credit to Colton and all the racers out there. We had a blast racing each other, and the 21 car, their pit crew, they helped me a lot, and some exchanges helping me get into the pit box and stuff. So big thanks to Team Chevy and that teamwork that we have, and burn the house down. It's awesome. I'm pumped.
He's pumped. I'm pumped. I've been Mark Wart with sports.
I love those British accents with those drivers. It just makes them sound like they're better drivers. I don't know why. It just, in my mind, if you have a British accent like that, I guess his would be, McLaughlin? He's got to be from Scotland,
yeah,
I would think. So, yeah, but it just makes you sound like you drive better than the rest of us. Okay, maybe he can figure out those divergent diamonds that Debbie was talking about. Debbie's Divergent Diamonds. Now that's an alliteration. It is 7:20 on WTMJ. It is going to be an absolutely gorgeous day. That humidity is gone. The sun's going to be out. And we're going to hit temperatures in the low to mid 70s. Currently 58 degrees at 7:20 on WTMJ. 7:22, 58 degrees, getting up there into the low to mid 70s today. It couldn't be more perfect than that. A little bit later on this morning, and this is was just such an interesting interview that I did with a Washington Post reporter about flight attendants and what they go through. We featured it yesterday on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, but I'm going to play it back for you again today, because when you hear this, when you hear what flight attendants go through, you will never get on the plane the same way. And I think you're going to have a lot more sympathy for those flight attendants that a lot of times people are a little bit critical of. That's going to be after 8 o'clock this morning. Right now, though, on a day when we are getting lots of sunshine and also great mild temperatures with no humidity, it's 7:23 on WTMJ. Well, here we are at the beginning of the school year, and we're all concerned about how ready our kids are. But are you aware that unless they're in great medical health, they may not do well in school? And joining us is Jessica Lee. She is the acting chief medical officer for the Center for Medicaid and CHIP Services. And doctor, let me ask you this to start out. Let's define what Medicaid and CHIP are and what types of services are covered under these programs.
This is a great way to start. Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, offer free or low-cost health coverage for eligible children, teens, and adults. So you can see why, as children are heading back to school, we want to remind people children don't have health insurance, that it may be available through Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program. Medicaid and CHIP for children and teens up to age 19 have really comprehensive offerings, from behavioral health services to doctor's visits and hospital visits, prescriptions, immunizations, dental visits, eye exams, and more.
All right, so who's eligible? What kids are eligible for these programs?
Each state has a Medicaid and CHIP program which provides health coverage for children up to age 19 and families with low and moderate incomes. In Wisconsin, it's called Badger Care Plus. Eligibility generally depends on how many people are in a household and household income, and it varies by state. But for example, in most states, children up to age 19 with a family income of up to $80,000 per year for a family of four may qualify for Medicaid and CHIP. But you can actually find out more information for your specific state at our website, insurekidsnow.gov, or by calling 1-877-KIDS-NOW. You can find out the specific information for your state on eligibility and enrollment.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when you said that families of four can earn as much as $80,000 and still qualify for these programs.
Medicaid and CHIP varies by state, but yes, it's providing health coverage for children up to age 19 and families with low and moderate income.
Is there an enrollment period for the programs?
The enrollment period is all the time, and that you can enroll at any time. There's no specific time when you need to enroll. It's open all year round. And we encourage people to enroll now, as soon as possible. So the coverage is there for you when you need it, in addition to setting our children up to be successful when they go back to school.
And that's a good question, Doctor. How important is it for a child to also have good medical health if they're going to do well in school?
Sustaining health is really just a foundational aspect of setting up our children for success. And we know that having health insurance is actually critical for children to thrive both in school and in life. We know that children with health coverage are less likely to miss school due to illness, and that means fewer missed work days for parents as well. They're also more likely to complete high school and graduate college. So on top of kind of setting kids up and meaning fewer missed days of school, fewer missed days of work, parents can also rest easier knowing that medical bills from teen or emergency care won't jeopardize their financial future.
Okay, so once a kid is covered by Medicaid or CHIP, what do parents have to do to maintain that coverage?
So in general, renewals happen about once a year. And what's really important is making sure that your address is up to date with the state Medicaid office, and that when you receive a renewal form, you fill it out right away to avoid any gaps in coverage. But again, families can apply to Medicaid and CHIP at any time of the year, meaning that enrollment is always open. And you can find more information on our website, insurekidsnow.gov, or by calling 1-877-KIDS-NOW.
All right, Jessica Lee, Acting Chief Medical Officer for the Center for Medicaid and CHIP Services. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I cannot believe that you can make as much as $80,000 with a family of four in some places and still qualify. Your kids can still qualify for Medicaid and CHIP.
It's amazing how much support we provide to families.
I'm just blown away by that one. All right, it is 7:27. As we said, beautiful day. Can't say enough about the sunshine we're going to have, those mild temperatures, and guess what? No humidity. It's 60 degrees at WTMJ. And it's a second half hour of Wisconsin Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Vince and Eric back tomorrow. 7:35 on WTMJ. There is nothing worse than facing the fact that you've got to move. And it's so stressful, but there's even more stress involved. And we've got some tips for tenants. Joining us is Michelle Reinen, our consumer expert. And tell us some of the things that people face, especially this time of the year.
Well, yeah, everyone has rights and responsibilities in these rental agreements. And it's a stressful time when you're having to move. So if you are needing to move out, ask the landlord for a walkthrough of the housing unit before the final checkout. This helps protect your security deposit and puts you both in the same place on how the apartment looks, that condition of the property before you move out. Maybe there's some things that you can fix or repair that the landlord's going to point out to you that you'll end up getting more money back off your security deposit if you'd just known through that conversation. And then go ahead and take those detailed photos or a video of the property so you have some documentation as to how you left the property. And so important, do not forget to give the landlord your new address as to where you'll be moving. That's going to ensure your security deposit gets back to you faster than if the mail has to forward it.
Now, do landlords have to return security deposits?
Yeah, they absolutely do. If they don't return the money, they need to return an accounting saying what they withheld the money for. And they need to do that within 21 days after the rental period expires. So if you move out early, the landlord still has the time period from when the rental agreement would end. It doesn't mean you'll necessarily get your security deposit back early.
All right. Now, what about moving in to a property? Are there things you should do before you move your furniture in?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, here we're going to talk about protecting your security deposit, and that means tenants have 7 days after the start of their tenancy to inspect inspect the premises, that new property they're in, and notify the landlord of any defects by returning what's called a check-in sheet. This can be a notebook, piece of paper, where, again, you are documenting the property, and you probably want to take pictures. But that way, later on, if there is damage when you move in, when you're moving out, you won't be held responsible for that damage. So take the time to do that 7-day check-in sheet. And then be sure the landlord's given you the contact information of a person who you can contact regarding maintenance problems, including name and address. And this is so important because you don't want to let some maintenance issue get out of control by not reporting it. So you need to know who to call as a tenant.
And how important is that lease and the fact that you read it before you sign it?
Oh, critical. You want to know what is in that agreement and what is going to be required of you. Who is responsible for paying the utilities? What repairs and property maintenance the tenant is expected to fulfill? So are you going to be responsible for mowing the lawn or shoveling the sidewalk? Depending upon the type of dwelling unit, that could be possible. And you want to understand your obligations under that rental agreement. When rent is due and how much you'll be paying should be part of that. And if the landlord promises to make any repairs before you move in, make sure they're part of that written agreement.
And let's give that Consumer Protection Hotline in case you run into any problems.
1-800-422-7128.
It's 7:39. We have 60 degrees at WTMJ. We're going to get up to about 74 today with sunny skies. There's nothing more fun than going to a Milwaukee Bucks game, unless you're somehow involved. Well, joining us is Kate Ulrich. She is the Bucks Senior Director of Live Programming and Entertainment. And Kate, once again, you are going to have auditions for people who want to participate in both the Bucks Beats and the 414 Crew. And that's coming up later this week. So tell us, first of all, what are the Bucks Beats and what do you have to do to be part of it?
Yeah, Bucks Beats is our drumline. So that's a co-ed drumline that all you have to do is come audition as a percussionist. So you play cymbals, tenors, bass drum, or snare. Come out, show all your energy, and you have a chance to be on Bucks Beat.
What are you looking for during those auditions when you audition the drummers?
Yeah, I tell everyone that the musical talent is great. However, I'm looking for someone who, if I'm standing up in the top of the 200 level and I see you down on the court, I can feel your energy all the way up by me.
Ah, so it's important to smile, I would think.
Definitely important to smile, yes, of course.
And what about some of those tricks that we see drummers do sometimes with tossing the sticks and things like that? Are you looking for that as well?
Yeah, I think tricks are great. Certainly not mandatory. We have a couple really great managers and captains on the team who are awesome at teaching that stuff. So if it's not one of your specialties, that's totally fine. Still come audition. That's something that you can learn along the way and maybe take with you when you're done down the road.
Now, the other people you're looking for are individuals who want to be part of the 414 Crew. What do they do?
All right, so our 414 Crew is our interactive hype team. They are the people who are out on the court, up in the stands, out in the community, getting people excited about Bucks basketball.
Tell us specifically what they do.
Okay, so they are pregame, they are rolling the t-shirts, they are getting the face painting ready, they're getting the tattoos ready. Pregame, they're up on the concourse, you see them giving those tattoos out, getting your picture taken with Bango, doing all that stuff that you love to do before you sit down in your seat. And then they're the ones throwing the shirts, activating on the court, bringing that energy all game long to make the best experience in arena.
Ah, so you don't have to have any talent other than to be friendly and energetic.
100%. That's all you need.
Are there age limitations on either Bucks Beats or 414 Crew?
There are not age restrictions. We do tend to hire people who are in high school and college, but there is certainly not an age restriction for us.
All right. So tell us, when are the auditions exactly, and what do you do if you want to sign up?
Yeah. All right. 414 Crew auditions are on Wednesday, September 4th. You can sign up on our website ahead of time, or you can just show up. Auditions start at 6 p.m., so come in the doors at 6. Get yourself registered. If you're pre-registered, that's great. And bring all the energy you can, because that's going to be a high-energy audition. Then the following week on Tuesday, September 10th at 6 p.m. again, both auditions at Fiserv Forum. I should make sure I mention that. For Bucks Beats, you do not need to bring instruments. We do encourage you to bring your own sticks if you have them. If you're a cymbal player and you have specifics on what cymbals you like to use, go ahead and bring those with you. Otherwise, again, You can register on site at 6 p.m. or you can pre-register at our website, bucks.com/entertainment.
Kate, what's the best part of being part of the 414 crew and the Bucks Beats?
The best part is making fans' day. Every time that a fan walks in, it could be their first game, and you want to make sure that you're giving them the best time. All of our entertainers walk away telling us that they just love being with the fans and bringing the energy to our games.
Well, it's going to be a great season for the Milwaukee Bucks. Kate Ulrich, Bucks Senior Director of Live Programming and Entertainment, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're a professional drummer, Isaac.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, I mean, you've played drums, what, your whole life almost?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, this could be something for you.
I've thought about it. I would love to. I would love to.
Yeah, I could see you out there. I really could. Think about it, Isaac, because you don't have enough to do. All right, it is 7:45. Coming up in just 1 minute. Oh, wait. It's Mark Hort in sports right here on Wisconsin Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All sports desk. Brewer Hicklin made his debut with the Brewers yesterday, becoming only the third player in 84 years to share the nickname of the team he worked for. The Brewer came up to the crew after an impressive performance as an outfielder from Class AAA Nashville. Unfortunately, the Brewers lost to Cincinnati yesterday 4-3, but are still leading the second-place Cubs in the NLC. They face the Cardinals today, and our coverage begins at noon with Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio. Isaac Marquardt, a.k.a. WTMJ Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
7:47, 60 degrees at WTMJ. We're going to get up to 74 under sunny skies. Coming up in just a couple minutes, I know, we've got to get them ready for school tomorrow. If they haven't already been there, as Tiff was saying, her daughter's already been in school for almost 2 weeks. But everybody's going to be back tomorrow. This is the day. I know it's the end of summer officially. And it's time to get them back in that mood and in that frame of mind that they got to go back to school and got to get up early and be disciplined and sit in classrooms for 6-7 hours a day. We've got some tips for you. What you need to know. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Morning News. I'm Libby Collins at 7:48. Oh, yeah, it's back to school tomorrow. Officially for everybody if they haven't already been back there. And, of course, that means it's a school day tomorrow. And even though today's a holiday, have you figured out what time you're putting the kids to bed at night? Well, how important is it to establish those rules for school nights? Joining us is Michael Wynn. He is the executive director at Teach for America Milwaukee. How important is having structure for kids?
I would say it's one of the main pillars to establish routine. And when we talk about routine, it's things as simple but yet complex like sleep. What time are our kids going to bed? What time are they waking up? Because that first class starts as soon as they walk into the door, how their brains have been nourished with food. And then that night, however tired they're feeling, how much hours of sleep that they're getting, so that when they're at school, they're fully engaged, they're fully awake, and they're fully aware of the academics and time with friends that they have. So important that students have the right amount of sleep.
Do you suggest that parents sit down with their kids and talk about goals for this coming school year?
Absolutely. Goals aren't just academic. How do we want to grow? What are the math skills that we want to grow in? What are the reading skills we want to grow in? But then also socially, how do we want to grow in terms of how we interact with our friends, how we pay attention in school? If we have sports, how much we practice. So that goal setting, Libby, that you name, is wildly important so that we have the entire frame of the year. But it helps establish that communication that children have with parents and sets the stage that, hey, parents don't just expect you to wake up each day and head to school, but parents want to be there to support you and how you want to grow as a student and a person this school year.
Do you suggest that parents really sit down and talk to their kids every day to find out what their day at school was like?
That's a great point. And 5 minutes is more time than some kids get with their parents to talk about how their day went, right? And so we don't need to overthink that every night we're going to have to sit down for 60 minutes and talk about each class or how homework is going, but check in. Hey, How was class today? What was a great part of class? What was challenging? How's your friend? How is your teacher communicating with you? Are you getting what you need in school? And that could be on the drive home. That could be at dinner time. That could be a quick phone call between class and practice. But having our students, our children know that we're going to check in and that we care and we care about their well-being as much as how well they're doing in class really helps our students and children feel like they can reach out to us.
What's the most important thing parents should keep in mind as they're sending their kids back to school this year?
Parents should know that they have an open line of communication to their teachers. As much as we want to check in with our kids and make sure that our kids feel comfortable talking to us, there is a bridge and relationship that can, and in my argument, should be cultivated with the teacher and the guardians, the parents, because they're the other adults in our children's lives looking after their well-being, their growth, their development in school and socially. So our Teach for America core members, for instance, many of them are making phone calls home to parents and saying, hey, I am Mr. Nguyen. I am your child's teacher this year. These are our goals, and this is how you can reach out to me. But just because a teacher isn't doing that doesn't mean they don't care, but rather it's an opportunity for us as guardians to reach out to them and introduce ourselves. My wonderful wife sent an email to one of our kids' teachers and said, hey, these are the social goals that our daughter wants to have this year. And all that does is help the teacher know that, A, hey, we're involved. B, you can reach out to us. And C, we're collaborators in the growth and development of our children. And so know that teachers can and will be receptive to parents reaching out because honestly, as a former teacher and school leader, it makes our job easier to know where we can lean in and that we have partners in the home as well.
Michael Nguyen, Executive Director for Teach for America at Milwaukee. Pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, you just got to have them ready. That's the thing, is just so those kids are ready to go back. Yeah, getting them into that frame of mind is not always fun. All right, speaking of things that are not always fun, I don't know if you heard this conversation last week, our WTMJ conversation, wherein I talked with a couple of twins. They're 21, 22 now, but they were 19 years old when they joined Milwaukee activist Frank Nitti's March on Washington. And they were very sincere. They wanted to help change lives. But they told me about a very uncomfortable conversation they had with Frank Nitti while they were on that road to D.C. Then there was the time that you two were making the reservations for all the rooms.
Yeah.
And what did he want you to do?
There was a point in the march when we started seeing him pitting the women against each other. And that was really odd to us because we had never seen that side of him. And he began trying to get women to be jealous of each other for being close to him. And I believe it was one night when we were dead exhausted from the whole day of marching. He was having us organize who would be in what room. And he suggested that we should room with him. And he just gave an odd, really uncomfortable look, and I just knew it was a big no.
If you didn't hear our conversation about a week and a half ago with twins Lena and Leanne Lee, you're going to have another opportunity tonight at 8 o'clock and find out what else happened during Milwaukee activist Frank Nitti's dubious walk to Washington. And again, that's tonight. It's the best of WTMJ conversations with Lena and Leanne Lee. 7:56, I'm Libby Collins. We've got Tiff Pua coming up in just a couple minutes. As I said a few minutes ago, it seems like you can't turn right, you can't turn left, you can't look in front of you, you can't look behind you, because there's another politician coming to town.
Well, they do say that the White House is, you know, the road to the White House comes through Wisconsin, and that is definitely true this year.
And today, we've got who coming in?
Democratic vice presidential nominee Governor Tim Walz is going to be in Milwaukee.
You know, I have a question. If Tim Walz does a slow dance with his wife, do they call it a Walz waltz? Never mind. All right, I'll be back. Yeah, there's another hour of this. I'll be back after the news with Tiff. We've got a Washington Post travel reporter joining us. She's got, oh, what flight attendants go through. We'll tell you all about it on Wisconsin Morning News. I love that story. Oops.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Thank you very much. I love that story, Tiff, about the brewer named Brewer.
I love that. It's like, talk about branding. He couldn't go to any other team, right?
Well, he did play for the Kansas City Royals.
Still not the same, though.
And played very well, by the way. And I mean, the trajectory that the Brewers are on right now, hopefully he's going to take it all the way. I mean, that I think this is great.
I think it's destiny, right? When you are given a name of some kind, maybe that is your destiny to fulfill that obligation in your life. And I think it's meant to be for the Brewers.
I think you might be right. I hope so. All right, Tiff Poole will be back with us at 8:30. And, boy, you know, a lot of people like to go on those trips as the kids go back to school. Fewer tourists out there. Lots easier to get in and out of the airports.
You hope so.
But wait until you hear what those flight attendants go through. Well, every time we get on a plane, it's another adventure. And a lot of us are a little concerned because we're not having a good day when we get on. But think about those flight attendants. Are they having a good day? Well, Washington Post travel reporter Natalie Compton took a deep dive at what flight attendants go through. And I got to tell you, Natalie, I was shocked when I read about what their lifestyle really is, especially when they first get started.
I think most of the traveling public would be in the same position, totally shocked to hear some of the stories that I found out reporting on this story. So the origin of it was in May, the Alaska Airlines Flight Attendant Union released a survey of its members, and 9% of respondents reported that they have been homeless in the last year or lived out of their car or in a shelter. And once I heard that figure, I ended up interviewing 18 current and former flight attendants, and many of them had similar stories of living out of their car at the airport, having to go to a shelter, not having anywhere to live because their pay is so low.
I mean, that is just unbelievable to think that the people that we're relying on for our safety once we get on that plane are sleeping in a car at the airport.
Mm-hmm. One woman had been a flight attendant for 16 years, so she had plenty of experience on the job. She was living at LAX, even with her teenage son would have to stay in the car with her sometimes. And she was having threats that they were going to call Child Protective Services. That wasn't an appropriate place for a teenager to live, but she had no other choice. She had already sent her other daughter to go live with her parents in another state. So I just heard so many of these tragic stories, flight attendants doing multiple jobs, staying up all night, driving Lyft, then getting on a plane. And like you said, these people are there for your safety. And so if they can't afford to get a night's sleep because they have to work a second job, that's a problem for a lot of people.
Well, you mentioned that second job. And mm-hmm. as you said, some of them go without sleep. Tell about some of the flight attendants you talked to and how long they were sleepless and they still would get on these flights to work.
The one person who really had a shocking story to me lives in Atlanta, and she works for Frontier Airlines. She got this job after switching careers and was very excited with the prospect of, oh, I'm going to get something like $20-something dollars an hour pay. But what a lot of people don't realize is flight attendants don't get paid until either the boarding door is closed or the brakes have been released from the plane. They're not getting paid during boarding. They're not getting paid when they're at the airport. So their actual take-home pay for this woman was $23,000 a year before taxes. And so to make ends meet, she was driving Lyft as much as possible. She was doing dog walking. And she told me about multiple times that she has gotten up at 4 a.m. to drive Lyft, been in the car all day driving, then gets a call from Frontier. I need to show up for a flight. I'm on call because I'm a new flight attendant. Goes and flies for 8 hours, gets home, gets back in the car and keeps driving Lyft because she has no other choice. So it is just a really shocking thing to hear because that means you have that person who is tired while they are driving you and tired while they're on the plane. And it's just really heartbreaking. She'd already done everything she could. She had gotten rid of her apartment and was trying to save rent by living with a friend. And still, it was just not working out for her on this one salary.
Well, I know in your article, you describe these crash houses that a lot of mm-hmm. flight attendants stay in while they're waiting for their next flight.
Crash pads are an industry standard, and not unusual for flight attendants. Some of them can be very nice, and it's almost like a hostel, or you can get one that is so nice it's like your own little apartment. It's supposed to be this, like, it's in the name, crash pad for people. Usually if they are not living in that city, okay, I fly out of this place, I can come here and get some sleep. But some of them are not great because people are trying to save as much money as possible, and the landlords want to turn a profit too, so they're cramming as many flight attendants as they can in bunk beds in a room. And one flight attendant told me the one she lives in, nobody cleans it. There's not really a good structure there. It's very cheap. It's in a bad neighborhood. She doesn't feel safe walking out, but she can't afford an Uber. So the stories that you hear once you start asking, it was very shocking. And most of the flight attendants were very brave for even coming forward at all, because they were worried that there would be retaliation from their airline for even speaking out and telling people about these problems.
Well, has there been any feedback from the airlines about these conditions?
There were no apologies from the airlines. They said, we pay a competitive rate. Flight attendants know what they're getting into when they start this job. And over time, the pay gets better, that you can add more flights and try to boost that income that way. One issue is that a lot of airlines are in contract negotiations with their airlines flight attendants unions, and these are years-old contracts that haven't been updated because unions feel airlines aren't giving enough in these negotiations. Airlines are trying to save as much money as possible, so as a result, flight attendants are just waiting for their wages to go up. So there are a lot of people pointing fingers in the issue, but ultimately it's the flight attendants who are suffering.
So basically, why is it that so many people still want to be flight attendants in spite of these working conditions, particularly in the first several years they get started?
It is still super competitive, as you mentioned. People like the perks of it, even though, you know, it's not just a free airplane ticket whenever you want. You're flying standby, and if you live in a place with a busy airport, that can be difficult to get on a standby flight and go wherever you're going. But they like the idea of those travel perks for themselves and their families. Over time, it is a very flexible job. Once you can start picking your schedule, once you have seniority under your belt, you can say, oh, I only want to work these days. And that is an appealing position to be in, especially compared to a traditional 9-to-5. And then over time, of course, the pay does get better. So flight attendants feel, okay, if I can suffer for the first 11 years, by year 12, it'll be great. And I should also say there are plenty of flight attendants who make this work if they're with somebody who has an income. You know, they have a spouse who has an income, or they get money from investments, whatever. There are people who make this work and are not feeling the suffering from the low pay. But if you are one of the single mothers that I talked to, or some of these people who don't have support from family, it is incredibly challenging.
Natalie, after doing all of this research on the life of flight attendants, do you have any regrets that you went into journalism and didn't decide to go into the airlines?
Well, I have an aunt who is a flight attendant, and I have always admired how much she got to travel, and that was very inspiring to me. She's also just one of the kindest people I know, and I know that that was the other part of what keeps flight attendants in the job, is they love dealing with people. They love how friendly of a job it is, and they love the other flight attendants they work with. So even talking to these people amidst their suffering, they had positive things to say about the job. It is tempting sometimes, you know, the job is glamorized on TV, but journalism, not so glamorous either. But I'll stay where I'm at, especially because I don't think I could start at the bottom of the totem pole as a flight attendant and be okay.
Natalie Compton, Washington Post travel reporter, thank you so much for doing this story and for talking to us today.
Thank you.
I think my favorite flight attendant thing I've ever seen on TV was when SNL used to do the flight attendants. Bye-bye. 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 It's 8:17. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got Mark Hart and sports right here on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. There's bad news and good news for the Brewers. Coming off an 11-inning 4-3 loss to the Reds yesterday, they are still decidedly 9 games ahead of the Cubs in the NLC and just 2 games behind the Dodgers, who have this season's best record in baseball. The Crew take on the Cardinals today at AmFam Field. Our coverage begins with Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio at noon. And Team Penske's Scott McLaughlin won yesterday for his third victory of the 2024 NTT IndyCar Series season. There were 763 on-track passes, surpassing Saturday's race at the Milwaukee Mile, for the most at an IndyCar race this season. It also included 13 lead changes, a record for an IndyCar event at the Milwaukee Mile. Scott McLaughlin says he didn't win alone.
We just stuck with it, and it wasn't quite good at the start, the car, and then we just tuned her up, and it was awesome. So a lot better in traffic today, which helped a lot. Credit to Colton and all the racers out there. We had a blast racing each other, and the 21 car, their pit crew, they helped me a lot, and some exchanges helping me get into the pit box and stuff. So big thanks to Team Chevy and that teamwork that we have, and burn the house down. It's awesome. I'm pumped.
I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
And I think they're coming back next year. That's a really exciting thing. So this may not be the last time you're going to be seeing those Indy car drivers going vroom, vroom around the racetrack at Milwaukee Mile. It's 8:21 on WTMJ coming up. Oh, you know what we've got? We've got an opportunity for you to get some school supplies. And in exchange, well, if you donate those, you're going to get something for you. We'll tell you about it right after this on WTMJ. That's a great place for burgers. As a matter of fact, it's one of my favorite places whenever I'm at AmFam Field with those AJ Bombers burgers. And they are doing some good for the kids in the city of Milwaukee because they're collecting school supplies. And joining us is their general manager, Nick May. And Nick, first of all, what exactly are you looking for? What do you want people to drop off?
Absolutely. So obviously, book bags are a big one that not too many people will consider to drop off. Pens, crayons, and markers are pretty common. But children need something to write on. So notebooks would also be another really good item for people to drop off.
And where are you collecting things?
We are collecting them. We have a barrel here at AJ Bombers right on the corner of Water and Knapp. We also now are accepting donations at our corporate office down in the Third Ward as well. So that's Benson's Restaurant Group.
What do you hope to achieve with this? I mean, why is it important for the kids to have these school supplies?
My big belief, especially from growing up and living in this city my whole life, has been the importance of children and the future of our community obviously starts in our schools. So if our children aren't given the tools that they need to develop, then it really falls on us as the parents for not ensuring that our future runs smoothly.
And I think, you know, it's always great to give something. And even if you're bringing your own kids, you know, to the various box stores, big box stores, and you're picking up those school supplies, it's nice if maybe you pick up an extra notebook or an extra book bag or an extra set of crayons and let them know the joy of giving and bring them to AJ Bombers. And if they do, you've got a little special surprise for them for just donating.
Yes, we do. We've got a little treat for everybody. Anybody who comes into AJ Bombers and drops off some school supplies can get a scoop of our very popular vanilla custard that we make here in-house at AJ Bombers. And if you don't want it right that same day, we'll even give you a voucher that's good until, I believe, the end of October for you to come on back and get your ice cream.
So again, I think it's important. Teach your kids the joy of helping other kids by picking up something extra when you go and get those book supplies. Bring it to AJ Bombers, and they get rewarded with that free custard. Nick May, you're doing good, and we thank you for it.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I'm going to keep doing what I got to do for the city.
Take care, Nick.
You as well.
Not just kids. Like some adults out there, you know, go out, get a few things, get a book bag. Those kids need it. Some notebooks. Things like that. Drop it off at AJ Bombers. Get the free custard. I think I know what I'm going to do today. All right, it is 8:27. You know, I just love doing WTMJ conversations. It's one of my favorite assignments here at the station. And we have such interesting people we talk to. One of them was Grace Girard. Now, you might say, gee, that name sounds familiar. How do I know her? Well, she was one of the ladies who was on the TV show Farmer Wants a Wife. And I had the opportunity to talk with her. Now, think about it. We were talking about flight attendants earlier. Well, most of us would never get on a plane without knowing their destination, all to meet the love of their life on a TV show. But Grace Girard did it, and she told me how it all began.
They actually didn't even tell us where we were going. They just said, here's your flight from Milwaukee to Atlanta. Be at the airport by 9 a.m.
You
be ready
to go.
Didn't
know where you were going?
No. So I landed in Atlanta and it ended up filming in Alabama.
So they came to get you, I assume, at the airport.
Yes.
Did they tell you at that point you're going to Alabama or you just got on another plane?
They did tell me at that point we were going to Alabama. They got us into a car. They told us like the type of person to look for, and she'll get you and a couple other girls into a car and you're going to drive away.
So at this point, had you talked to these other girls who were the other contestants?
They had told us, you know, keep talking to a minimum because they really wanted to keep everything authentic for the cameras. So it was kind of a silent car ride.
What was your impression of the other girls? Because, I mean, right now, you know, they're your competition.
Exactly. No, there was definitely that edge to it. I'm too much of a Midwest nice girl to like sit there and not try and talk to people. But there was like that, I shouldn't be giving anything away about myself. So it was kind of an interesting experience.
Well, Racine's Grace Girard talks about how she found love on a TV show and then the unexpected turn her romantic life took after the cameras stopped filming. And that you can hear it on the Best of WTMJ Conversations. We're going to play it right after Brewers Extra Innings a little bit later on this afternoon. Brewers, by the way, get underway at noon. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Labor Day is the last big grilling holiday of the summer, so we want to take it up a notch and do it right. And I can't think of anybody I'd rather talk to about it than Duffy O'Neill. He is a chef and co-owner of North Star Bistro and Grafton Ale House. And I know Duffy because he's part of our family. And Duffy, tell us, what are some of the most popular things to grill this time of year?
Well, most popular, I think we can always go with the burger, which it's a great staple to go, but I know people might want to kick it up a little with this last weekend. As you said, you know, it's the last of the summer. So, you know, steaks are pretty popular, but as we know, it's kind of getting a little pricey to do steaks on the grill. So there's ways to get around that, I think. If you don't want to do the burger and the brat, there are some cuts of meat that I think we can work with that are just as flavorful, but they're not as tough on the pocketbook.
Okay, so let's look at beef, which, of course, as you said, steak is pricey. Is there any cut of beef other than hamburgers that you would say, this is a great one, and if you do it right, you're really going to be happy with the results?
I love flank steak. Most places will have it in their butcher section. Flank steak. You can do it in many different ways. You can marinate it. You can dry rub it. Also, you can just eat it like sliced, or you can put it into tacos. A lot of different ways of serving it. And the nice thing is it's reasonable and it's really simple to use. The only thing you just have to remember with flank steak is to cut it against the grain. You will see the grain running through the steak just when it's off. You let the meat rest when it's done, and you just slice it across the grain, and it's really tender and has a lot of flavor.
All right, so you mentioned dry rubs. You mentioned marinate. What do you prefer? What do you think with flank steak makes the best prep?
I like to marinate flank steak, so sometimes a little garlic, balsamic vinegar, some mustard, rosemary, and a little olive oil, black pepper. And I let it marinate in that without any salt yet. And then after you get the grill hot, put it on the grill, that's when I like to season it with salt.
And how long do you leave it? Because you don't want to overcook that, do you?
No, you don't. The grilling time, I would say it's about 4 to 5 minutes aside. So after about two and a half minutes, I like to cross-section it. So if it's laying vertical, then I like to turn it horizontal. And it kind of gives those nice cross-sections. And then I flip it and do the same thing. And if your grill is a little hot, sometimes you just need to kind of take it off the heat a little bit and let it cook just a little bit longer. Because I would recommend between medium rare and medium for that cut.
All right. Now, pork has been pretty reasonable. What about pork chops? How hard are they to grill?
You know, pork can dry out pretty quickly. So the recommendation there would be to brine them. You can use like a brown sugar brine, a cider brine, orange juice brine. And what the brine does, you add a lot of salt, water, a little sweetener, and then something else like orange juice and maybe some herbs. And what that does is that salt penetrates the meat and kind of keeps it a little more tender, even if you overcook it just a little bit. It definitely helps with the flavor a lot as well.
And, you know, there's been some pretty good prices on ribs that you want to barbecue as well. Any secrets on those?
Ribs, you got to plan ahead, I would say, because maybe the day before you want to take them out of the package and do a dry rub. A dry rub you can buy at the store. You can make one, which usually has, like, a little chili powder, paprika, garlic powder, onion, maybe a little sugar and salt. A lot of times there's some good ones at the store you can find, and you let that sit overnight in your refrigerator on the ribs. And then if you're going to grill ribs, I recommend setting up your grill, one side of it with the heat and one side without the heat, so you can get the char marks over the flame, kind of keep it there for a little bit, and then you put it over on the side without the flame and just let it cook until it's ready to go, basting it with your barbecue as you go. So it keeps it from getting burnt if you keep it over the flame.
And what is the biggest mistake people make when they barbecue?
Not have a beer in their hand. The biggest mistake, I think, is overcooking the meat. You can always put it back on the grill, but, you know, you can't undo it. So I would caution overcooking and give yourself an outlet, too, when you start your grill. Keep one side for indirect cooking, which I mean is you don't have the heat over on that side. That allows you, if you have flare-ups, you know, it's just too hot, you can slide it over. Give yourself a break and just kind of let it cook without burning.
Duffy O'Neill from North Star Bistro and Grafton Ale House. He is the chef and co-owner. Great to have you here. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful Labor Day.
Thank you. You too.
You know what? One of my favorite things to do on the grill, and it's a quick meal, is shrimp and vegetables. I get that, you know, like get the zucchini and the summer squash and eggplant and onions and red peppers, yellow peppers, whatever. And I cut them into big chunks. And then I put them like in a plastic bag with some olive oil and lemon and herbs. Shake that up. Okay? Let them sit there for a few minutes. And then I do the same thing with shrimp. I'll, you know, clean them and shell them, which I don't mind doing. Some people hate doing that. I like doing it because I love shrimp so much. And so I get those, and then I just take a little bit of olive oil and a little bit of lemon and salt and pepper and shake those up. Then you just put these on the grill. I mean, they cook so fast, and it's such a nice, light meal. One of my favorite things. Okay, 8:43, we've got 60, well, we've got, what, 62 degrees already? We've got your forecast. It's coming up right after this on Wisconsin Morning News. We've got plenty of sunshine today, 74 degrees for a high, clear tonight. Temperatures getting down there, though, 56 if you're near the lake, 49 further inland. Then tomorrow looks mostly sunny, all the way up to 76 degrees. Same thing Wednesday, sunshine, 78. Thursday is when the weather starts to change. Some clouds come in. We've got a chance of a storm late in the day. It's going to feel a lot warmer, 82 for a high, and then cooling down again on Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, and a high of 70 degrees. Currently in Port Washington, we have 62. Richfield's at 59. Franklin has 61 degrees, and we have 62 degrees at 8:46 on WTMJ. And in 1 minute, it's Marquardt and Sports.
Time for a WTMJ Sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Sports Desk. Brewer Hicklin made his debut with the Brewers yesterday, becoming only the third player in 84 years to share the nickname of the team he worked for. The Brewer came up to the crew after an impressive performance as an outfielder from Class AAA Nashville. Unfortunately, the Brewers lost to Cincinnati yesterday 4-3, but are still leading the second-place Cubs in the NLC. They face the Cardinals today, and our coverage begins at noon with Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio. In other Milwaukee sports news, Team Penske's Scott McLaughlin won the Milwaukee Mile yesterday for his third victory of the 2024 NTT IndyCar Series season. There were 763 on-track passes, surpassing Saturday's race at the Milwaukee Mile for the most at an IndyCar race this season. It also included 13 lead changes, a record for an IndyCar event at the Milwaukee Mile. Driver Scott McLaughlin says he couldn't have done it alone.
We just stuck with it, and it wasn't quite good at the start, the car, and then we just tuned her up, and it was awesome. So a lot better in traffic today, which helped a lot. Credit to Colton and all the racers out there. We had a blast racing each other, and the 21 car, their pit crew, they helped me a lot, and some exchanges helping me get into the pit box and stuff. So big thanks to Team Chevy and that teamwork that we have, and burn the house down. It was awesome. I'm pumped.
I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Isaac. It's 8:48. How confused are you by new cell phone technology? Oh, you can't be more confused than me. We're going to try to explain it to you in just a couple minutes. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Morning News.
Hey, WDTMJ's Eric Bilstead here, reminding you to subscribe to the Wisconsin's Morning News Podcast. We update it every day with every interview, every segment, every bit we do on the show.
Wait, we don't do bits on the show.
We're thrilled to have the one and only Will Pounder.
I don't know what that means.
Yes! Labeled or known as being a big baguette.
All right, maybe we do some bits.
Be sure you subscribe to the Wisconsin's Morning News Podcast, presented by Tri-County Contracting.
Here's a penny for your thoughts. There's about 11,000 tire-related crashes every year.
Mostly due to driving around on underinflated, beat-up, worn-out tires with low tread.
A couple of clicks at richlawns.com will get you scheduled for a free tire tread test.
But if you're pressed for time, there's an old trick we use in the tire industry that'll tell you if you need tires.
And that's free, too.
My dad showed me, who learned it from his dad, who learned it from someone else way back in 1964.
Yes, the old penny test.
Yep, just place a penny head first.
As in upside down.
Into the groovier tire. Now, if you can see the top of Lincoln's head, you're due for tires.
And hey, if the free penny test frazzles you, book an appointment at richlawns.com.
If your tires are good,
no harm, no foul, because it won't cost you a penny. Be safe, buckle up, and hey, always make sure you've got good tread on your tires. I'm Brett Matschke with Richlawns. You're
due for service.
Such a refreshing change. Richlawns.
$1 million. That's big, really big. This September, Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee is handing out a cool million, and you've got a shot at winning your share. The big $1 million giveaway is here. Just play with your rewards card and you're entered to win. Couldn't be easier and couldn't be bigger. No wonder it's called the Big One. For more details, visit paysbig.com/big one. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play.
Hey, John Mercier here for Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living. Their mission is to transform the culture of care. They specialize in caring for those with early to late stage Alzheimer's or other related dementia symptoms, memory care issues. It's Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living. I've been in their places. I love how they deal with people. It's about compassion and empathy at Azura. Kindness is at their core. 14 locations from the Mississippi to Lake Michigan, 4 here in the Milwaukee area. Wisconsin-based and family-owned, it's about kindness and care. It's Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living.
After a serious accident, you'll need a winning team to protect your rights. Trust Wisconsin's own Gruber Law Offices. Proud partner of your Milwaukee Brewers. One call, that's all.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Do you still have a landline? Well, guess what? More than 70% of adults live in households that exclusively use wireless phone service. And some of us do miss those landlines. So joining us is an AT&T tech expert, Chris Phillips. And Chris, is that statistic correct? That 70% of people have given up their landlines?
The stat that I have is 70% of adults and more than 80% of children live in households that only use wireless products for voice services.
Wow. We know the advantages of having just a cell phone, because obviously you can take it wherever you are. But what are some of the disadvantages people are now finding that they have without a landline?
The younger generation never grew up with a landline, so I think that they don't understand what the advantage of ever having a landline was for back in the day. And I think as you go the little bit middle to older generations where they actually had a landline, I think more than anything else, it was that peace of mind that you have something that's going to work. And as AT&T and the other companies have improved the network experience that's out there, I feel like you're not going to run into that issue as much as you would have thought in the past to actually have a landline phone. So that there's not necessarily a disadvantage. A lot of the perceived ones that you could probably come up with is if you have businesses that still use, or, you know, people that work out of their homes with fax machines or have alarms that are set up for the housing, because that's obviously a very big product that's out there. Any type of house alarms or system alarms that you've got set up, and medical monitoring. The great news is even with the wireless networks, you can still use that and run those systems, so you don't have to rely on that landline phone.
I had to smile when you said a fax. Believe it or not, just a couple of weeks ago, my husband said to me, well, can we fax this? And I looked at him and said, not from a cell phone, we can't. But apparently there is a technology where now you can have all of the same benefits that you had with a landline, but do it through your wireless. Explain what's happening.
Yes, that's correct. So the product that we've got is called AT&T Phone Advance. And exactly what you're talking about, the great news about that is it's going to be an option for customers where it'll give you a digital home phone service that works just like your traditional. So I go in and I have my phone that I have that I pick up and use, be able to use this same product just like that, and it's comparable to what I currently have. And the great news is if you've got an existing phone number, you can even keep that and use the actual current telephone. So you don't have to go and buy different products or services to hook up with this product that we've got that's out there right now.
How widespread is fiber optics throughout southeastern Wisconsin right now?
So you've got pockets all throughout southeast Wisconsin that's going to have fiber. I don't know the exact, I would say, of the footprint of what we have that's built out with it. And the great news is we can pull anybody's address to check to see if they qualify for it. Let's say that fiber is not available for you in your area. There could be a backup product that we have that runs off of our wireless network as well, too, that would give you internet coverage. So you could either, if you're available for fiber, obviously that's going to be the product that you'll be able to sign up for. And if fiber is not available and your address does qualify for it, there could be an option for you that would run off of our network. So basically, the cell tower that you've got is going to run off your same data that you've got for that. So not only would you have your wireless portion of it, you've got your cell phone data ported of it, and then you'd actually have an internet box that could run your house as well, too.
What is the future of telephone service, Chris? We've evolved so quickly over the last 10, 20 years. Where will it be in another 10 or 20 years?
I would tell you I don't necessarily have the answer for that. I wish I would. I'd probably be in a higher role with AT&T if I did. But my guess would tell you that there's going to be a wireless use for everything that we've got. For us, there's going to be ways that we need to connect more things. And the way that your data is allotted to you is probably going to be a way that's going to switch a little bit from that wireless aspect to more of the data and the social aspect of it. These fiber and the internet era opportunities that we've got out there for the consumer to be able to do, there's probably going to be way different ways that we're going to maximize and utilize those products and services for consumers that we're not even thinking about today.
Will you ever be able to eliminate those robo spam calls we all get?
I don't know if we'll ever be able to eliminate them all. I know that they're working on ways to make sure that we've got ways to stop as much as we can. But unfortunately, the way the world works, it seems like when we get one thing figured out, there's someone ahead and somewhere else to continue to keep that going. So I feel like we will do the best that we can with technology and with the resources available to us to stay out in front of it and to minimize that as much as we can to the customer.
Chris Phillips from AT&T. Great to talk with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
8:56 and 63 degrees. What did you just say to me, Isaac? You don't even know what a fax is.
I don't think I've ever known what a fax is.
You don't know what a fax is. Let me tell you a little story. So when my son was young and, you know, a bunch of little guys were running around the house and doing things, and they said, "Can I call my mother?" And I said, "Of course." And I pointed to the phone, which happened to have a rotary dial. And this little kid, probably 7, 8 years old, stood and just stared at the telephone for the longest time until I finally said, "Do you want me to call your mother for you?" And he just looked up at me and said, "I don't know how to use it. What is this?" We've come a long way, people. All right. Don't know what a fax is, huh? Okay. We'll explain that. I'll explain it to you later. It's very old school. All right. Coming up after we're done here in just a couple minutes, we've got the ABC News Labor Day special. Also, I will be back with my WTMJ Best of Conversation with Grace Gerard from The Farmer's Wife. That's going to be right after Brewer's Extra Innings. And then tonight at 8 o'clock, if you did not hear, Lena and Leanne Lee, the two young ladies who went on that very interesting walk to Washington with Milwaukee activist Frank Nitti. We're going to replay that at 8 tonight. It's the Best of Conversations. I'm Libby Collins. Thanks for joining us today. Have a safe and happy Labor Day.